Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast with one goal in mind, to bring people into a closer walk with God. For more than 30 years now, the Christian Worship Hour has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and provide hope and encouragement to Christians all across America and around the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a very special service today because it's Mother's Day. And I'm going to be preaching about a sermon entitled, Let Me Tell You About My Mother. And oh, I had a wonderful Christian mother, and I just want to talk to her, tell you about her today. And I just want to wish the blessings on every mother that's tuned in. And maybe if you think of some mother might not be thinking about us, give us a ring, and we're going to bless and thank God for the mothers. We're looking at Psalm chapter 9, verses 7 to 11, where the psalmist writes, Bless the Lord, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. That our Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. And oh God, that's what we want to do today. We want to declare the doings of the Lord to the whole world. And one of the things he's done, he's given us salvation through Jesus. And we just pray that multitudes will love and trust Jesus. And if they've never done it before, they'll open their heart to the Savior today. And we want to pray for the mothers, Lord, that it'll be a service that will encourage and bless them. God bless America. All the mothers in America and all over the world. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb has a song now. It's entitled, Hold On to the Years, and God bless you, Barb.
At you and wonder what you wonder. This miracle unfolding in my hands. We talk to one another in a language all our own that even daddies cannot understand. I gave you to the Father when you were just a child, and I don't know where the child will disappear. But I know when you go away, that in my heart I know tomorrow I can hold on to the time the Father placed you in our care. When my prayers you cannot hear, when I'm not there to dry your hot tears, I trust that you will hold on to the years. Stand outside your door and watch you sleeping. And it's funny how I see the child in me. From the cradle to your first bike, to the pictures on the wall, just tokens of the one you're going to be. In moments of our weakness, we hold each other. How I wish that I could always calm your fears, but I'm content in knowing that a part of you will stay within the heart that holds on to the years. And it seems like yesterday when you first came our way, an answer to an honest, fervent prayer. And I hope someday you'll see I was all I knew you'd be since the time the Father placed you in our care. When my prayers you cannot hear, when I'm not there to dry your tears, I trust that you will hold on to the
Well, thank you, Barb. And I know mothers, Christian mothers especially, pray for their children. And long after that mother's gone, sometimes those prayers come to pass. They don't see them come to pass in their lifetime. And after they're gone, that wayward boy, that wayward girl, that unbeliever comes to Jesus. And those mothers can pray. And it makes a difference. Well, we want to thank you for the letters, the wonderful letters, and we just love to share them with you. And I hear from a lot of people, and they like to hear the letters and different people, what they're thinking, where they live. And so we're going to look at some of the letters today. And by the way, if you have your Bibles, some of you that you bring your Bibles to this to the service, you get 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy. And we'll read from that passage. But this is a lady in Madison, South Dakota. And listen to her. She talks about sheep. She says, "Thank you and your crew for your great sermons and services. When you were reading the letters and the lady wrote about how her smart sheep, you dismissed it saying it was a bum lamb, a bottle lamb raised in the house. The thought popped into my head that that's what we all were when we turned to Jesus. We were no longer sheep who have gone astray, but we're raised lambs. We are caught and taught and redeemed and protected by our good shepherd. Wouldn't it be nice if all sheep could be raised in the house so they could be smart sheep who were taken into the good shepherd's home to be trained? God bless you too, smart sheep and shepherd. Bring many to Christ." I thought that's excellent. And we do stray, but when we come to Jesus, we're in his flock. He's our shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his flock. And that's exactly what it is. Just a great letter. I know this lady, and she's a dear Christian friend of mine. Here's Lake Park, Florida. "I look forward to your services every Sunday morning. It means a lot as I can't attend church. I'm too old with physical problems to go to church. Your services sure give great encouragement, and I'm so thankful to have found your program last year. Have a wonderful day." And so, you know, we do hear from so many that can't get out. And that's their church. And we're so honored to do that because we really are. It's just you don't have to be here physically. Spiritually, we can all be around the throne of God. And all over the world, we have people that we're worshiping together as one great congregation. And we're gathered around the feet of Jesus at the throne of God. It is absolutely thrilling and wonderful. And when we pray, we always pray for the aged. We always pray for the shut-ins. We always pray for those who have special troubles and trials. Here's Edmore, North Dakota. And I like this one. And this is the lady's writing. She says, "My husband is a truck driver, and I'm a retired teacher working as a para for a child with special needs. Although we don't make the church together very often, we make it a point to watch your service nearly every Sunday. His parents, that is his dad, is also a truck driver across the state, watch diligently as well. We visit on the phone about the spiritual message and the beautiful music. My husband often encourages other truckers to listen. We want to thank you for sticking to Bible-based teaching and uplifting messages. It makes us feel closer to each other and closer to our God." And I just have a special place for cowboys and truck drivers. And you know, I have an office, and it's a beautiful office, has great big windows, and it's right by the highway, and I see these trucks go by. Huge trucks. When I was a kid in the 30s, we had an old pickup with a few boards around it, and that was our truck. Hauled two cattle, and we had a load. And now these massive trucks come by, and I think of them, where do they come from and where are they going? And the trucks that I like the best are the ones that are hauling hay, good old hay. And they're hauling it, always going east, never going west, always taking it east. So the truck drivers, God bless you. Hope we hear from some more of you. Well, let me see here. We want to look at number this here, Olivet, South Dakota. And here is a cowboy that writes this letter. He's a Christian. You might be surprised at how many cowboys, bull riders, are Christian people. And I'm going to tell you, I think they're good Christians, because wouldn't it take a lot of faith to get on a wild bull? They've got faith if anybody's got it. Well, here he writes and says, "Just a short note to thank you for all your gospel preaching sermons. You folks are always in our prayers. We enjoy the singing in your sermons so much, and they're from the Bible and they're true. Please remember me in your prayers. I was in the hospital for a week and they said I have throat cancer. I'm trusting in God for healing, and I'm not taking any of the chemo or the radiation. This might be the old cowboy's last ride, but I'll stay on for the 8 seconds. And he laughs a little. He says, "I know God can heal. He's the great physician. Praise the Lord. Love in Jesus' name, your old cowboy friend." I just love that letter. And he's trusting the dear Savior to heal him. And we're praying that God will heal him. We're praying God will have his way. We always pray, "Thy will be done." I want to talk about that in just a little bit in my sermon here, about my mother's faith and how that it was always, "Thy will be done." And so I just love this. And I tell you, I was raised out west, and we had a lot of cowboys and ranchers out there. And I'm telling you, there's no veneer on them. There's no hiding. There's no politicians in them. They're just right out in the open. And what you see is what you get. And God bless them. And if they like you, they'll let you know. And if they don't like you, they'll let you know. And they didn't all like preachers neither. But they had to come to funerals. Although I had one funeral. Where the cowboys, the ranchers, they brought the body into the church, and then they went outside. They wouldn't listen to my sermon. And when I got in, they came in and got the old cowboy and took him out, and then they buried him, and they shoveled all the dirt right there. Those were the good old days. Those were in the, that's been 80 years ago, 75 years ago. But they're genuine people, and they got a soul, and a lot of them got a faith, a real faith. Listen to this letter. This is a beautiful letter. St. David, Arizona. "Just wanted to let you know that I enjoy your sermons. I have lived as a hermit on monastery grounds for 23 years now, but 20 surgeries keep me homebound, so you are my church service. I connected to Catholicism at age 16, but God is found everywhere, so your take on the holy mystery is no problem for me. It is a joy. So isn't that nice? See, it doesn't matter what your denomination is. It's Jesus. I don't care what handle you got on and what you go by, name you go by in denomination. I'm going to tell you the thing is, here she is. She's got Jesus. See, Jesus. We're all gathered around Jesus because Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus says that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man gets to the Father but by me. And so if you want to go to heaven, you go through Jesus. You go through a person. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, I just love him so much. And so I just wondering if you're trusting Jesus. And you know, we have a pamphlet, a 14-page pamphlet, on how you can know that you're saved, how you can be sure that you have salvation. And you get your pencil and paper and write about it. Just write salvation. And we'll send it on a free will offering basis. So get your pencil ready. I'll give the address in a minute. Here is New Carlisle, Indiana. I listen every Sunday, enjoy your old-time church service. It has helped my walk with Jesus. I lived alone for 11 years since I lost my husband to cancer after 42 years of marriage. Your program is a great comfort to me, and I have told many of my friends also, yours in Christ. And I underlined, I have told many of my friends. Just tell some other people. Tell other people and tell them the good news that there's some God loves them, and that's what we're preaching. It'll give them hope and help. And then here's the last one I have to read, and it's from Rogers, Minnesota. I've been a quadriplegic since 1970 due to a motorcycle accident caused by a hit-and-run drunk driver. Although I lost the use of my arms and legs, I truly believe that I gained a great deal more than when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord on St. Patrick's Day 38 years ago. And he is exactly right. It isn't the body that counts. It's that spirit and that soul, internal soul. And so he has a physical deformity now. But his soul is safe in Jesus. And that body may be there for 70, 80, or even like I am 94 years old, if you can imagine. You know, they say, well, God won't take you home to get all your work done. I'll probably live forever at that rate. But here he is, that body will be maybe 60, 70 years, but that soul lasts forever. And this young man or this dear brother has it right on the head. So our wonderful letters. Now you write to us, and I'll tell you where to write. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We have or if you want to get us, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. We get many gifts through that website. And so we want to just urge you to write to us and tell us where you are and where you are, and also help us in the work, because we're dependent upon your gifts. The only source of income we have is from God's people. And so you write to us. You've got the address there. Those of you on shortwave radio, we're going to give it to you again, is Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And it wasn't long ago, and we got a letter from somebody on shortwave radio from Japan. And so we're just thrilled about that. Now, if you want to get this little booklet on salvation to be sure you're saved and know you're saved, you just write and put on salvation and send a gift to help us if you can, because it cost us over $5 to do these. And so you want to help us, I'm sure. But you write to us. And then one other thing, we have what we call the new song, and that's a monthly Bible study. And you just write new song, we'll put you on the mailing list. And so now we're going to have a prayer. And then we're going to ask you to give as God lays on your heart. Jan's going to play, and we're going to praise God for carrying on supplying our needs. So Heavenly Father, thank you for all you supply in giving us through your people to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And so if you have your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Malaysia. And every week we pray for a different country, and so there's going to be Malaysia. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace, and do that from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Lord in heaven, thank you for St. Paul. Thank you for the that he gave himself to you, and that he eventually, Lord, gave his life, put to death because of the gospel. There's been martyrs since the church began at the very beginning. There have been those martyrs, and they wear a martyr's crown, and someday we're going to see them, a whole arrayment of people who have given their life for you, and how we appreciate them and pray for them and take courage and take hope. We thank you, Lord, for this passage where Paul talks about mothers and grandmothers and the great influence they have on this young man, Timothy, who became a servant of the Lord. And in our prayer today, Lord, we want to pray for the mothers and encourage them, and the grandmothers who, oh, are so important to so many times. And we just pray that they'll not give up, but they'll know that they're called of God and that they have a high calling as they raise those little children to come to know Jesus and love Jesus and give them the principles and morals that they need to carry them through life, most of all that faith in Jesus. So bless those mothers, and some of them, Lord, now their journey's about done, and help them to know that that you have a special place for them, that you love them and care for them. And someday we'll all be together. We're all around the throne of God worshiping now, but in spirit and in form and with a resurrected body, we're going to be in that same place where we are right this minute by spirit. We are going to be there in person, and we'll see each other, and won't we have a time. So, Lord, bless us in this service. Now the people at Malaysia, we pray for them, some of them suffering, many of them suffering. And, oh, God, it's not just those who give up their lives because their journey is ended and they're in your presence, but those left behind, oh, God, and how some of them are tortured and misused. And we just wish you'd come, Lord, and put an end to it. But that's in your keeping, and you'll do it at the right time. So now in this service, Lord, bless us all. Strengthen us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Melissa's going to sing for us. She's singing a song, Hymns from Way Back Home. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
That means the world to me, where I first heard them singing, Home, sweet home. I still recall the melody, the Rock of Ages clap for me. How I love to hear the hymns from way back home. I miss the amazing grace and love's old story. The sweetest sound my heart has ever known. I miss Daddy sitting in that old rocking chair. Yes, and Mama's voice so sweet and clear. How I love to hear the hymns way back home. I long to hear the choir sing in the tiny church down the dusty lane. It would thrill me just to hear the organ play. It was voices all in one accord, singing praises to the Lord. How I'd love to hear the hymns from way back home. I miss amazing grace and love's old story. The sweetest sound my heart has ever known. I miss Daddy sitting in that old rocking chair. Yes, and Mama's voice so sweet and clear. How I'd love to hear the hymns way back home. How I'd love to hear the hymns way back home.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And we never get tired of those hymns, and they bring back a lot of memories away back home. And someday we'll be in heaven, and we're going to sing the praises of God and that wonderful, the blood of Jesus Christ that's shed for us. We're going to sing and praise Him for that. Oh, it'll be a great day. Well, I want to preach a sermon today entitled, Let Me Tell You About My Mother. Because, of course, as I say, this weekend we're celebrating Mother's Day, as we should. And we all have a mother and or have had a mother. And they are very special to us. And that's one of them, as it was my mother, a Christian mother. And to these Christian mothers, I want to tell you about my mother. Because she made all great impression on my life. I owe a lot to my mother. And she taught me some things. For one thing, I want to tell you about her faith. Because that's where I got my faith, really. My start. Because she demonstrated it in her life. And then she used the Word of God and she taught the Word of God. She read the Bible stories to us, and little by little, before I accepted Jesus at age 10, I had a faith. I mean, I knew they were all about Jesus. I knew a lot about Jesus. And I remember that night he gave the invitation, the evangelist gave an invitation. I went up, I heard the first time I ever had an invitation in the service, and I went forward. First time! And the reason was Mother had it all set up for me. She had taught me all about Jesus. I knew who he was, and I wanted him, and I wanted to get rid of my sins. And so she made it easy. And she, this wonderful faith. My mother was a school teacher before she was married. She raised five children. She renewed her contract and went on teaching school for a number of years. And so she would read about that Bible, and she would spend a lot of time showing us the way to the Lord. And so I remember the first thing I can remember of my mother was that she read a Bible story and give us a kiss and have a prayer and put us in bed. And so that went back a long time ago. And in those days, we didn't have television. We didn't have penicillin. We didn't have polio shots. We didn't have frozen foods or Xerox or plastic. Didn't have plastic, if you can imagine it. We didn't have lenses and Frisbees. And there were didn't have credit cards. Didn't know what a credit card was. We didn't have radar, split atoms, and all of those things. Man hadn't walked on the moon. We never heard of FM radio or tape decks or electronic typewriters or computers or all the rest of it. All we had was a radio. And we hardly had radio. And I say hardly had it because most of the times the batteries were dead or half dead, and you couldn't get much out of that radio. And I remember there was not everybody even had a radio. And I can remember the time when Joe Louis was the world heavyweight boxing champ. And all the men, neighbor men would come, and they would get around that radio. And one man would listen, and there would be about 10 crackles to every one word, but he would say what was happening. And they didn't have to use the battery too much because Joe Louis knocked him out the first or second round. That was the end of the story. But those were the old days, and there was nothing to distract us. We didn't have all of these things going on. So when Mother read a Bible story, and when she told us a Bible story and some of her experiences, that was a big thing, and we listened carefully. On Sundays, we went to Sunday school. We went to Sunday school and our church in our schoolhouse. That was our church. And sometimes a preacher would come. He came from the American Sunday School Union. And he would preach. And I remember how happy we were on the Sundays that he missed. Because he was a pitiful preacher. And here I'm preaching. I just think of that so often. And it would just go on forever, and we just wished that he could just stop. I don't know why he was trying. And I remember a story he used to tell about a nurse, and And this is the windy preacher. He was so windy, he was in the hospital. And this little nurse was her first time around, and they wanted to take his temperature. And she got mixed up. Instead of the thermometer, she took the barometer and took it, and it came up dry and windy. And boy, that's the way that bird was. He was dry and windy, and sometimes I think I am, but you have to sit through it anyway. But we had that Bible study. Now, if we didn't have Sunday school, if it rained, it was muddy or something, then we had it at home. And my mother would have that lesson at home. And we always, that we didn't like that because her lessons were a lot longer. And we sat there and paid attention, and she gave us that faith. That's where I heard about Jesus. That's where I heard about the burning bush. That's where I heard about the Savior. That's where I heard all those stories. I can see them. I can hear them. Daniel in the lion's den scared me half to death. And all of those things, my dear sweet mother. And then one day an evangelist came to that schoolhouse and he had meetings at night. His name was Vernon Egebroughton. Egebroughton. I was just a kid. I couldn't even say it. Vernon Egebroughton came from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church from Sturgis, South Dakota. And he gave the invitation, and I was 10 years old, and I'm so thankful to God for that evangelist who came. He's in glory now. I used to write to him and talk and call him once in a while. Now he's in glory with the Lord. I'm going to see him again. But that wonderful, you see, that was a lot like Timothy. Timothy was a young man, and St. Paul came and ministered to him. And that's where he got his faith, and that's where he got his heart right with God. Paul writes, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded then in thee also." And so here, this faith comes out of this old grandmother and this mother, and that helped that little child, so he knew exactly what to do. Timothy knew what to do. In Acts 16, verse 1, we're told that Timothy's father was a Greek, and so he probably didn't know the Lord because we never hear his name mentioned ever once in regards to spiritual training of this child. So it was a mother. And then a little later in this same letter, Paul writes, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the Old Testament. So it was given by word of mouth. But when this mother taught and gave the things of God, that mother helped him to have his faith, and that's what my mother did. Trusting Jesus was easy for me. And then I want to tell you about her Bible, because that was a sacred book to her. It was, without a doubt, the Word of God. There wasn't a question in my mind, but there was one Word of God Almighty, and that was the Bible. Never questioned it once. And my mother revered that book. Oh, just held it in reverence. And I can tell you something else. She never would place anything on that Bible, wouldn't lay a thing, not a piece of paper on that Bible, because it was a sacred book. And you know, to this day, 90 years later, I don't lay anything on my Bible. She loved that Bible. It was God's Word. It was a sacred Word. And you know, as I remember it now, I never remember my mother ever making a mark in the Bible. She never underlined a word. She never wrote a note. It was a sacred book. Now, I write in mine all the time because I forget. I underline verses constantly. But my mother thought it was so sacred, she didn't want to desecrate it by writing in it. And so she taught us to revere the Word of God, to love the Word of God. And I see the Bibles now cast around and put around and over in this corner, that corner, or you can't with gathering dust. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, one time he says, "There's enough dust on some of the Bibles so you could write damnation on it." And so it is so many times. It's just so, it isn't cared for at all. It's just another book, just like a magazine. And I remember reading the story of a pastor went into a home to call on this couple, on this mother, and this little daughter was there. Her daughter was there. And the pastor says, well, before I go, I'd like to read a passage from the Bible. Could you get your Bible? And the mother wants to impress this pastor. And she says, the little girl says, go and get the book that mother loves. She ran out in the kitchen and got the book on cooking, brought in the cookbook. How would she know? She never saw her mother with the Bible. And so my mother taught us to revere that Bible. And her mother and her Bible, they went hand in hand. And so we need to do the same thing. Revere the Word of God. Hold it highly. Teach the children that thus saith the Lord. And that is exactly God speaking. And then I want to tell you about our prayers. As little children, my mother would always pray with us before we went to bed. And more often than night, she'd tuck us into bed. Like I say, have that Bible story, that kiss, and that prayer. But I'm going to tell you something else about my mother. If you would have asked her to pray in public, she would have died. She was a very timid woman. She was strict, and she taught us, and when she said something, you could believe it. But when you came to praying in public, she couldn't do it. And I have friends that can't pray in public. And so you say, oh, you better get spiritual. You better grow in the Lord so you can pray in public. Don't you talk to me like that. The best Christian I ever knew was my mother. She couldn't pray in public. She could pray at the meals, and she could pray at bedtime, and she could pray with her children, but she couldn't pray in public if she had to. And so that mother prayed. And I believe with all my heart that I am a Christian today, that I was saved, and that I walked with the Lord. And not the best, failed many times, but I always came back. And I believe it's because of my mother's prayers, my wonderful prayers. And God knows I had chances to sin. Oh, dear. We were raised out on the farm. We always had hired men. Sometimes we had 3-4 hired men. And you know what they did? They all smoked in those days. And I remember they'd roll their own cigarettes. I thought that was so nice. They've got tobacco in a little pouch, a little bag, Bull Durham. That was a good name for it. And they'd make their own cigarettes. You weren't a man if you didn't smoke. You had to be a man to smoke. Well, I wanted to be a man. I didn't want to be a girl or a sissy. And so the temptation was there. Everybody wanted to be a man. But my mother taught me that was wrong. And she pounded that through my head. And she prayed. And she prayed. She had 4 boys and a girl. And none of them ever smoked or drank or took liquor or got into gambling and things like that. And I believe it is because of my mother's prayers. And you mothers, you pray. And you say, I get letters all the time. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. They drifted away. Pray, pray, pray. And once in a while they'll say, I prayed so long and nothing happens. Now you keep on praying, mother. I think that God will give special blessings to mother's prayers and little children's prayers. I think he does it to the little children because he doesn't want to disappoint them. He wants them to get their faith. And I think he blesses them. I think he really listens to little children's prayers. But he listens to mother's prayers. And I know people say, well, this mother prayed and she died and her son never turned. But before the son died, he did turn. And I've had any number come to me and talk to me about salvation or come forward in services and say, I know my mother was praying for me and she's gone now, but I'm coming to Jesus. So you mothers pray and don't give up. And just because it doesn't happen in the moment, just before you stay there. Just pray. Pray for the Lord. And if it doesn't come out right away, pray on just the same. And I remember a prayer the mother wasn't answered. I remember that we were going to lose our farm. And this was in the 30s. And it says, you know, Jesus says, if 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, and he says, if 2 of you shall serve on earth as touching anything, agree on earth as touching anything, and they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18:19. And so my mother and I remember we prayed that we wouldn't lose our farm. And God says, if there's two of you are gathered, agreed, I'll do it. And we prayed, and we lost the farm. I remember the day the sheriff came and gave us a paper, and that paper said, yeah, I've got 30 days to get off this property. Now, I was disappointed. And my mother, I remember it plain as day. She said, Harold, I don't know. We prayed, and I don't know. But I know that God is God, and He does the right thing. Well, I've learned since, as I study the Word, that God is telling us, if you are according to my will, I will do it. Now, you see, it's got to be that way because here's two people. They live in the same town. And one wants to have a picnic at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the other one's praying for rain at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so you can't have them both, can you? And so you pray. Jesus says to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Mother taught us that. And she didn't understand why we lost that place, but she never turned against God. And I've seen plenty of them that have. I remember one woman who said, I'll never go to church as long as I live. I lost my farm in that depression, same that we did. And there was my mother, a saint, and another woman as hard as stone. And you know whether you can be hard or you can be soft. It's up to you, you, the sun that shines on that clay will melt, will make it hard. If it shines on the butter, it will melt. That same sun. And you decide, I'm going to love God or I'm going to hate God. It's in your court. Then I want to tell you about my mother's determination. And that is, she would taught us certain things. And she said, and when she said something, you could always count on it. Bless her name. You know, for instance, she said, I'll make you a birthday cake. Or I'll go walking with you at a certain time. Or I'll do this, or I'll do that. If she ever said it, you could just count on it. And if she said she's going to give you a spanking, you could count on that too. I've gone through that route too. And you know, it got so after a while, we could outrun Mother. She couldn't catch us, but she never chased us, ever. I never can remember. I see some of these people in some of the stores downtown, they're chasing their kids. Well, my mother never ever chased me. And she'd say, now if you do that, you're going to get a spanking. So I do it. All right. So then she can't catch me. See? So now here I am, and she just said, okay, that's all right. And so then here it comes in the afternoon. Then it gets dark. We don't have any yard lights. We don't have any electricity. There's no light at all. And then it gets dark. It's dark as the inside of a cow. And there you are outside. And then you hear owl hoot. Or you see a coyote howl. Or you see a bat fly by or something flies by. And you get in the house. There's the stick. You get it. So she was determined. She taught us to keep our word. And she said, if you start something, you finish it. And you keep your word and always keep your word. And so this wonderful mother, I just tell you, I couldn't say enough about her. I just thank God for her. And she was very strict with us and dealt with us in a hard way a lot of times. But, oh, boy, I'm thankful that she did that. And, you know, that's what the Scripture says. That chastening at the present time is never delightful. It's hard, and we hurt, and we wonder what God is doing. And yet the Scriptures tell us that He scourgeth every child that He receives. When you accept Jesus Christ, He's going to start disciplining you because He wants to make you better, and He wants to make you happier, and He wants to make you more like Christ. And so He works with us, and He deals with us, and He helps us, and He loves us. And, oh, I just thank God that my mother did that, because I'm sure I would have been a gambler. I'm sure I would have followed those hired men and how they lived, what a hard life they lived. Oh, my, I think that. And so this one, my mother, She was just determined. And another thing about my mother, my dad never went to church. She always went alone with us, took us alone. My dad wasn't a believer. He didn't care if we went to church, but it wasn't for him. And he was busy anyway. He was off buying and selling sheep and losing money. That's about what he was doing for a living. And he had an awful struggle. And later in life, I know some of you want to know, later in life he did accept the Lord. He accepted the Lord because of my mother's life and her determination. So if you've got a husband and he won't go to church, don't sit home and hold his hand. Because if you do that, he'll hold your hand all the way to hell. What you do is say, I've got to serve my God. I got to be in my church. I've got to be some group to worship. And I don't know what it is. Just go to a church where they preach the Bible. And you go there. And my mother went every time. And she took those children and we all behaved because she sat behind us. We didn't want to sit right with my mother, you know. So we sat ahead of her. And believe me, when we got it, if we messed around, we got it. But she was there. And I think back of my wife. I hear some of these women say, oh, my husband won't go. I don't want to go alone. I don't want to go alone. There's a lot of single mothers that are in church, and you go alone if you're a single mother. You be in church and you serve the Lord and walk with the Lord. That's a way to live. That's the only way to live. And then the last thing I want to do, I want to tell you about my mother's death. My mother lived to be 99 years and 5 months. She was up and around all of that time. She dressed herself. She fed herself. She had absolutely no problem except physically she was in excellent condition, but mentally she lost all memory. And that mother came to the place. Little by little it slipped away. She remembers some of the big things and then some of the harder things and then some smaller things and then little by little until she didn't know her own children. I remember talking to her about her children and I'd say, Mother, do you remember Louise? Louise was her only daughter. And Mother would say, no, I don't know Louise. And then I said, do you remember Stephen? Stephen was the baby. He was the youngest. No, I don't remember Stephen. And then I'd say, do you remember Harold? I was the oldest and I was with her the most. And I remember I helped her in the home a lot, in the house a lot, because she just couldn't get all the work done. I helped her a lot. I was close to my mother. I said, do you remember Harold? And she says, no, I don't remember Harold. And then I said, Mother, do you remember Jesus? And she says, oh, yes, I remember Jesus. It was her soul. It was her heart. And friends, that's the way we have to live. We have to worship something. You're going to worship something. You're going to have some God. Even the atheists have. They worship something. They have some God someplace, somewhere. And you need to have Jesus. And that wonderful Jesus will stand with us in life and in death. And next week I'm going to preach about the blessings we have in death. Christians in death. And you say, blessings in dying? You bet. And you tell all your friends, the blessings of death for the Christian. That's going to be next week, Lord willing, if he doesn't take me home or if he doesn't come or something like that. And so you just come and just listen to it. But my mother, and so there, she had a hard life. She lived, didn't have any electricity, anything like that. She worked hard. She never complained. I remember she used to sing the hymns while she worked. And she made a difference in my life. So you mothers today, you may say, oh, my children aren't going right and they're going wrong. They're going to make mistakes, but you pray and you never give up and you always love them. And never give up because God will help you with it. And I think if you pray even after you're gone, God will answer many of those prayers. I've seen it happen to a good number, and maybe all of them, I don't know, but just love Jesus. But you know you can't love Jesus unless you know him. And you know how you not know about him? Everybody knows about him. The devil knows all about him. You have to know him personally. You have to come to that time in your life when you ask Jesus to come in your heart. He says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart. I'm knocking at your heart right now. Maybe you're feeling, I ought to take him in. I ought to ask him in. "If any man or person hears my knock and opens the door, I will come in." And so you just pray, "Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin." And you say, "I got horrible sins, it doesn't matter. His blood will wash them all away." And ask him to come into your heart. Tell him you love him and you serve him the best you can. Then thank him and rejoice because you have Jesus. And if you do that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature to help you get started in the Christian life. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'd love to hear from you and get you started in the Christian life. But you have to make the move. You have to open your life. We can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. So just pray. And it says in the Bible, "Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." And it also says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants you to come no matter what your sin. Come right now. Pray right now. If you want to get on your knees, pray. Maybe you can't get out of bed. Just pray. Pray that prayer. Now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe that there are multitudes of people all over the world that are praying right now to ask you into their heart, and you're entering every one of them, and you know every one of them by name, and you will be with them, and you will never leave them or forsake them, and you'll be with them no matter what happens. And if they fall, you'll help them up if they repent and just ask you to help them. Oh, dear God, we just thank you for your mercy and your love and your grace. And we pray for the shut-ins, Lord. And we pray for those on beds of sickness. And we pray for those who can't get around and about. Oh, God, help them to know that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And you love us, and we love you. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today and worshiping with us. Someday we're going to be together in heaven. If you accepted Jesus, we're going to get together in heaven. And so I'm just praying that you'll have a good week to come. I'm praying that you'll just lean on Jesus and that you'll trust him. I'm praying that you'll know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and we'll be looking for you next weekend, the Lord willing. God bless you.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast that provides strength for daily living found in the good news of the gospel. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. If it has, then write to us and let us know at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Be sure to join Dr. Salem again next week at this same time for the Christian Worship Hour.